This is Wikipedia Weekly, episode 127 for October 29th, 2017. Wikidatacon 2017 from Berlin. Welcome to another episode of Wikipedia Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Lee, also known as User Fuzzheado on the English Wikipedia and Wikidata.
And I am Liam Wyatt, User Wikilama from Australia, now Italy, equally on any given social network or Wikimedia website of choice.
This is Stacey Allison-Casson, username Smallison, from Canada.
Hi, this is Rob Fernandez from Wikimedia District Columbia, username Gamaliel on Wikidata and other fine Wikimedia projects.
This is Rosie Stevenson-Goodnight. I edit as user Rosie Step, and I'm based in California.
Great, so we're coming to you from the end of Wikidatacon 2017, the first ever conference of, yeah, around Wikidata. So while Wikidata has been around since 2012 and it's been a part of Wikimania and other conferences, this is the first dedicated conference just for Wikidata, and it kind of marks a pretty big milestone, right? It's 5 years of existence.
It's birthday party.
Yeah, so it was a birthday party slash conference.
Cake, balloon animals.
And presents.
Presents. Lots of presents, which we'll be talking about later.
We'll talk about presents, but I thought what we'd do in this podcast, just talk about some of the themes and interesting numbers as Wikidata turns five. You know, one of the main events was Lydia Pincher, who's, I guess, the project manager for Wikidata, talking about some of the interesting stats. So some of these numbers are pretty impressive, one of which was kind of neat, showing that Wikidata kind of is responsible for a lot of the health and growth of our community in many ways, right? So I think she's up to 2% of the growth. Well, no, 2% growth in our Wikimedia projects is largely due to Wikidata editors.
And, and that's growth of contributions, not growth of article size.
Right.
But the number of low, medium, and high-frequency editors, it seems, like active, very active, and so forth, are predominantly coming from Wikidata when we're speaking about month-over-month changes, whereas historically for the last 5 years or more, we see slow but steady decreases in those numbers. Maybe the very active numbers stay relatively steady. Wikidata is pretty much the only one that's actually consistently increasing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So she said there were 1,400 very active editors on Wikidata.
And one thing we should note about the active editors, this is a very global group. Right. Like, you're going to hear a lot of North American voices in this podcast, but that's about, we're about two-thirds of all the North Americans that were here at Wikidatacon. It was very, very diverse. A lot of Europeans, a lot of people from Asia.
Africa, too, is,
yeah, Africa,
sure.
Absolutely. And you may have seen on Facebook, Asaf Bartov has gone around to the Indian subcontinent to train Wikidata editors there, and he's recruited a lot of new, very active editors. So this is not an English language project by any means.
Yeah, Asaf's training day is a six-hour workshop.
Yeah, so those are committed editors.
Well, they are by the end of the day.
Yes.
He said about 100 new Wikidata editors have come through his last year of going around the world and doing the training. So that's pretty good success rate, I think.
I think he mentioned the word, or the number of 20% of the folks he trained were keeping on still editing afterwards, which
that's
is pretty
good return, yeah.
Yeah. So some other interesting stats. There were 8.5 million Sparkle queries per day on query.wikidata.org, which is pretty amazing.
If you haven't used the query tool, you should. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and then
query.wikimedia.org.
Right. And even if you don't know what the heck a Sparkle query is, there is a examples button. So just go check on the cats and
yes, cats.
Other
everyone likes cats. So
examples.
Click on the cats example.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of prepackaged queries that are there. Yeah, Lydia just showed some of the cool stats that were there related to growth and health of the community. One of the more interesting sessions about Wikisite. So Wikisite is a project to, I guess, investigate how Wikidata might be used to store citations to content on the net. So
yeah, I went to this session, and Wikisite, not to be confused with Wikidata or Wikipedia, is the logo, is the brand name for the concept of structuring citations, footnotes in Wikipedia, using the power of Wikidata or structured information. So we have and the English Wikipedia, the German Wikipedia, the major Wikipedias have templates for footnotes. Site journal, site book, site website, and that's excellent to make sure there's consistency in formatting. But every time you want to make a footnote for a given book or a given website, even though that book might be footnoted elsewhere in your language Wikipedia thousands of times, you still have to type out the ISBN, the author, the year, the publication, location, etc., etc. The concept here is that footnotes on Wikipedia articles, after categories, info boxes, and interlanguage links, are the next most obvious place of structured information that we can generate from Wikidata and make better, not just replicate the functionality on a Wikipedia footnote, but do some really interesting improvements to that. Like, I believe it was Andy Mabbitt pointed out that the single most popular footnote in Wikipedia English, if we removed the text of having to type the name and the author and the year and the publication and so forth from Wikipedia and replaced it with the Wikidata extracted citation code, it would save half a gigabyte text from the database from not having to retype that information.
Right.
And just like info boxes, it makes it so much easier for the smaller language editions to be able to utilize good quality, well-formatted references without having to go through the hassle of retyping every piece of metadata about a book or a newspaper or a website.
Right. Stacey, you're from the World Libraries.
Yeah, so the thing about Wikisite is that it's relatively low-hanging fruit as far as structured data goes, because we know that every article generally has an author, has a title, has a journal name, has a book, has an ISBN. So there's a lot of really well-structured data that already exists. So it's relatively simple to be able to bring that into a structured environment.
Yeah. And it's amazing that we now have like the visual editor. You go to a site, it extracts all that information, but then it just plops it as text on the page. It doesn't do anything to put it in a database or to share it or do anything. And, you know, we're losing a lot of capability there by just putting a text representation on the page, right? So, did they say anything about where the project is now or where the initiative is?
One of the interesting things that Dario Taribelli, the research manager at the Wikimedia Foundation, was saying, that a large proportion of new items on Wikidata and properties on Wikidata and just the activity there is because of the import of individual Wikidata items about individual scientific papers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So each scientific paper can have a Wikidata item, which we can then represent, you know, how many other scientific papers reference this scientific paper. So you can have a citation graph of scientific papers. So that does skew the proportion of Wikidata items, and also gives the impression that Wikisite is about scientific papers.
Right.
And Dario's point was that is the thing that has been successful at the beginning, and we would not want the scope of Wikisite, of structuring footnotes, to be considered to be merely the thing that was successful to start with. It's more than that. That is the almost the low-hanging fruit, because scientific journals come pre-structured.
Yeah, that's the exact phrase that I was about to say. Low-hanging fruit. Their scientific journal metadata is very standardized. It's machine-readable. It's accessible. They're already going into electronic databases, so it's in their best interest to structure this data. But there's a lot more to come in the future that we're going to have to deal with, like at Wikisite in the Wikisite Conference in Vienna. And if you'd like to know more about the Wikisite Conference in Vienna, please see episode 123 of Wikipedia Weekly. But, Andrew and I went to the Wikisite Conference to talk about newspaper and news media citations. These are more ephemeral. These are less standardized. And so there's a lot more problems there. Or what I talked about today, earlier this week, at this conference at WikidataCon, is about music and popular music, and that's a lot less standardized. And I know that Stacey has some opinions about that. But, you know, and these are, like, the scientific journals is just the tip of the iceberg. This is the easiest thing. to do. Maybe not easiest in terms of gigabytes or, you know, but it's this is just the beginning. And we're going to have to, you know, standardize, find ways to represent all these things in Wikidata down the line. So,
yeah. So what do you think about when Rob was talking about 78 records and how do you put those into citations? That was kind of...
Well, I mean, there's the... So when we want to move to being able to capture structured data around the concept of popular music, it does get a little bit more complex than when we talk about scientific right. journal articles, because you do have to think about what is that, if you want to talk about works, what the idea of a work is. And so mm-hmm. Things that are less... tangible become more complex when you move into the two structured data. So right. when we talk about improvised music or popular music or even things like dance, so what are we talking about, especially if we don't necessarily have a physical item that we're referring to?
True. Right.
Or there's even physical items, like how do we represent furniture on Wikidata? Has anyone really thought about that?
Right. And software and video games.
Yeah, software. So we had, and I know that Catherine Thornton is working on software.
Right, right.
And Wikidata. Right. Yeah.
Cool. So lots of interesting questions. Like, as you said, some of these research papers, academic papers, are the easy ones. We got a lot of hard cases to deal with after that, right? So other things related to Wikisite. Oh, data donations. Jens Oleg, who works with Wikidata here in Germany, had a really... interesting session on data donations. What was his, some of his mantras about
yeah, data donations? Yeah, his key phrases that he repeats about trying to accept into what Wikidata, solicit and import Wikidata data dumps or data donations, is that Wikidata is not a data dump where you merely upload some stuff and then drive away. His phrase is that you come for the data... but stay for the community. Or at least that is the hope. So the content that is being accepted en masse into Wikidata is not merely the things that we could accept en masse, but things where there is a community willing to curate it, to improve it, to use it. Wikidata has a scope that is potentially infinite, but the donation of large quantities of content is slowly expanding in scope of what will be accepted to meet the community's capacity to deal with that, which is a sustainable model I really appreciate.
Yeah, and we should make the point when we talk about data donations, like this is structured data in Wikidata. It's not like we dumped a bunch of files of random data on the Internet Archive or something.
And let's talk about this talk, which I thought was really interesting. Stacey, you saw this too.
Mm-hmm.
This was a talk called Wikidata as Universal Library Thesaurus. And this was done by Theo van Veen from the National Library of the Netherlands. And I was kind of astonished how he was just like not only drinking the Wikidata Kool-Aid, but asking us to drink more of it, right? What were some of the things that he was saying?
Well, his idea was that we could replace the existing authority structure with Wikidata. And that Wikidata itself becomes a linking hub, because in a Wikidata item, you have the thing that the item is about, but you also have all of these links to external identifiers. And many, I don't know how many identifiers, I can't remember the number offhand, that can be added currently, but it's a huge number. So because of this, the Wikidata item becomes a place to go and then be able to really tap into the existing network of semantic data around an item. And it is, in many ways, more desirable to do this in one place and have one sort of central place to be able to do all this linking rather than having URIs distributed around everywhere. So it's a really compelling case that he made for shifting in this direction. And I think we are going to be hearing more about libraries exploring this idea.
I mean, it was kind of fascinating to see that he was not even just calling for Wikidata to be kind of in a first-class area with all these other national libraries. He wanted it to be the hub. And basically saying, if you don't have a good reason to maintain your own identifiers, just use Wikidata as the main place.
Right? Yeah, and again, I think the idea is why would you mint your own URI when you could do that in Wikidata and have it be much more visible and have a greater possibility of reuse and, again, tap into this all these other stores of structured data.
Right. So it was kind of an interesting thing that we're like the GLAM organization is actually kind of out ahead of us in some ways, asking for more inclusion of that.
Yeah, and I think, again, I think that in the library community and the GLAM community maybe as a whole, we're really looking for solutions to structured data, and I think the Wikimedia projects really are a very stable platform for doing this kind of work,
mm-hmm.
and really attractive in all kinds of ways.
I think that I would like to contest that. Not so much. I think it's amusing that Wikimedia is considered the stable platform.
Yes, right.
We are, by definition, a malleable and we're a movable feast of content. And we were talking the two of us earlier on this afternoon about how it's very unusual in vocabularies or ontologies or structured systems for the vocabulary. In our context, the properties and the content, in our context, the cue items, to be built and modified simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Any other professional ontology of musical terms or bibliographic metadata or whatever the field is, you set the terms, you set the ontology, you set the vocabulary of the properties you are willing to accept, lock it, and then we import data.
Right.
It is scary. It is an acknowledgement that data is messy, that we are doing both simultaneously. So it's amusing that it's ironic that that cultural institutions might start saying that Wikidata is more stable. When we are overtly saying this will change as we go along.
Well, and I should probably qualify that statement by saying...
Well, I see what you did there. That's good.
Thank you. That stability comes in the platform. I mean, so Wikidata is five years old, and is stable in that it's not, you know, there's a large community, use is increasing, it's not going anywhere. In a lot of ways. So there's stability there. But absolutely, right. I think where there's attraction for the community is actually in this ability to maybe account for relationships in ways right. that we can't do in traditional bibliographic structures, and that we can start rethinking some of our ways that we do our work, and that there's some space to do that. And again, it's this linking to other identifiers that can be very difficult to do in the context of traditional bibliography.
And cross-disciplinary.
Yes.
Every individual institution might be an expert in their field, but the ability to connect an art history database with a genealogical database with a... pick another topic. Is something that no individual expertise can achieve in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what is so exciting about Wikidata. There's all these, the intersectionality of it, all this stuff is coming together. And it can't come together on any other platform.
Rosie?
I'm working with Amanda Rust on a project at Northeastern University in Boston, the Women Writers Project, that focuses on women writers and their works pre-20th century English language. And they are talking about the collections that they have, not only of these particular women writers and their works, but the reviews of their works, and thinking about, is there a place for that, to donate these reviews? And of course, the answer is yes, there is. But now we just need to figure out what's the best way of handling that. And then, of course, this would grow. This isn't just something that Northeastern University is doing. Other universities are working on women writers and other kinds of writers, too. So I guess this kind of leads to another topic that I think we wanted to talk about, which is info boxes. Currently, Wikidata has quite a few different structured info boxes, but not one for writers, and we talked about that today, the creation of that, and once it's created, whether it would mimic what we have on English Wikipedia in terms of the fields that we find on English Wikipedia info boxes, and how would the community support using that in articles on various language Wikipedias, for example, Catalan. Wikipedia, which has embraced using Wikidata info boxes versus some other languages that are continuing to have conversations and haven't really embraced the idea yet.
Right. Well, it's a perfect segue into that session that was kind of a four-way presentation of Catalan, Basque, English, and I can't remember the fourth person, maybe. That he was also Catalan, I think it was. But if you want the headline is Catalan has 600,000 articles. 58% of those articles use a Wikidata-driven info box. That's like 300,000-plus articles use info boxes that are just either one line or two lines because they pull in all the data from Wikidata. And we're not just talking like it just lists things. We're talking maps. We're talking interactive elements. It's pretty amazing.
And it reads like they don't have specific, they don't need specific templates. It's flexible enough that it figures out what to display based on the properties of Wikidata.
Right. And there's also some hope that the amazing stuff that the, you need to know this programming language called Lua to actually harness the power of the templates to pull information in from Wikidata to do some formatting and mapping. But there's some hope in that this is not just kind of a ghetto for Catalan. In fact, the Basque Wikipedia has adapted those templates in, and they say, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, I believe them, but they say they didn't have to change much at all. They basically had to change a few things, and it just worked. So if other languages want to do it, it's kind of there for the taking. But we know that English language Wikipedia is not really stepping into this area.
Yeah, I mean, the headline for the English language Wikipedia is, why can't we have nice things? I mean, but it is really exciting to see the smaller Wikipedias be like incubators of innovation, where they can do these exciting new things and show us the way forward. Well, and we just have to embrace that and be smart enough to embrace that.
I think that in the future, we should look at having features such as an opt-in or opt-out. Some people would love to have the idea of an info box in every opera article, and other people wouldn't care for that. But if there's an opt-in, opt-out feature in your preferences where you can make a choice, that would take care of that particular issue.
Yeah, I really like that idea. Because right now, the people, the small vocal minority who are objecting are making the choice for everyone to not have these features. And whereas if it was opt-in or opt-out, then you could make the decision on your own and not have someone decide for you whether or not you have access to these features.
I think you're differentiating between whether we're talking about a Wikidata-generated info box versus a locally hosted info box with fields that are written in prose and footnotes that are hosted locally on the English Wikipedia, as opposed to whether there is an info box at all.
Right.
When we're talking about user preferences, that is obviously a very small minority of the number of people who are reading that article. And the people who have even an user account that then know how to make preferences to choose a gadget for this or that or the other is a very small number of people, and that can change your interface for you. I believe the question on the English Wikipedia, or the controversy in the English Wikipedia, is that because we have a community that is, or at least historically is, large enough to be able to maintain structurable information manually, unlike, say...
Or they believe they can.
Yes. Then why do we need this other thing?
Right.
The conversion from an existing info box, where all of the fields are filled in a way that is human readable to those who know how to read an info box code, to a template that simply says curly bracket, info box person slash Wikidata, curly bracket. And then the content in that, for a Wikipedia editor who has never left Wikipedia, for all of a sudden that content to disappear from what they know to be the editing interface and then be hidden, quote-unquote, hidden from them over on another website can be confronting. It would feel like I no longer have access to the control on that content. In exactly the same way as when Wikimedia Commons was invented, people complained that I can no longer edit the metadata of the caption of my images, which is absurd since Wikimedia Commons is equally as editable from the same login information as the Wikipedia article. It's just over there. I hope, and this is a believe on the roadmap, that the ability to edit wiki data from within Wikipedia as a sort of a little pop-up widget is on the roadmap and exists to a certain degree, but much more integrated, is on the way, which will help alleviate the concern of Wikipedians, as much as the concern is maybe strange, that leaving Wikipedia to edit on Wikidata is on a foreign website that I'm not going to touch. It doesn't actually matter where you edit Wikidata. It can be sucked in. That's the point.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say that I think that the lines between Wiki sister projects are starting to blur with some of the integrations, and that as they continue to blur, there will be less resistance. There will be less of a feeling that one thing is siloed from another, and it'll be more like playing together nicely. So hopefully that's going to have a positive effect on things like info boxes and the other topics that we uncovered at this conference.
You know, like, I agree. But, you know, Liam, you make some really excellent points. I'm sympathetic to those editors and their concerns. But, you know, Wikidata is a very open community. It's a very helpful community, and they're willing to, if those editors want to take that step, you know, this community is there to help them. And, you know, but we really talked about this quite a bit on the Wikimedia podcast that we did. And the point about, like, you know, can we manually maintain these? And I argued that you can't. Like, you think you can maintain handcrafted artisanal info boxes on 5 million articles, but you can't. You cannot do that. If you want all the world's knowledge and you want to maintain the accuracy and up-to-dateness of the world's knowledge, we need to automate some of these things, because volunteer time is not infinite.
And, well, it's not even just preserving what we have. It's like we're missing a lot of stuff on English Wikipedia.
Right, we're still missing.
Now, we could get it overnight if we just happen to use these info boxes.
Right, and if you update if you update Wikidata, you can use that on any project.
Right.
You can use that on any project. So these editors that are saying, like, we're going to handcraft these info boxes and maintain them forever, are you going to go on the Choctaw Wikipedia and maintain their info boxes too?
Right. Right. So I'd shame those folks who don't want to do Wikidata info boxes by saying you're being greedy and hogging the data to yourself. You should be sharing it in Wikidata. Right.
Yeah, you should be excited about that. You should be excited about the possibility that anyone in any language can use your contribution that you just made.
Right.
That should be exciting. And it's innovative. It's exciting. And you should want to innovate. Because if we don't innovate, someone else is going to innovate and we're going to be Encarta.
Right.
We're going to be tomorrow's Encarta if we don't innovate.
Well, and this does loop a little bit back to Lydia's keynote, where she did talk about alternative interfaces so that people on Wikipedia can interact with Wikidata without having to explicitly go to Wikidata, right? There's some innovation that can happen there. So hopefully that'll be part of the solution going forward, because it can be scary for these folks to hop off Wikipedia.
Yeah, and if we could have some kind of interesting interface where they don't know they're on Wikidata, or they don't feel like they're going to a whole separate universe, that would be, you know, that would open it up to more editors, and that's what we want as a movement.
Right.
Is to make these contributions, like make more editors able to make more contributions.
So let's make
segues really nicely into the next, in terms of our integration, we're talking about integration of Wikidata into Wikipedia. Integration of Wikidata into other sister projects is arguably one of the major themes of the conference, not just Wikipedia through infoboxes primarily, but there's a session on what about Wikispecies, both technologically and culturally, which that community has a real aversion to greater Wikidata integration, and they're starting to warm up to it on the things that are not species information, but the peripheral things, like the people who discovered the species, because their footnotes are entirely unstructured. They don't have citation templates at all.
I would think that, like, I don't know anything about Wikispecies, but I would think that should be one of the most structured projects.
Yeah, well, you would think. And then there was a major presentation about the future of Wikidata for Wiktionary, which is super exciting as a potential, possibly, theoretically, more valid as a connection than even Wikipedia, because the semantic connections within one language and between languages in a lexicographical context is fascinating. It could be super powerful. And we could, with Wikidata and Wiktionary, if I were working for Britannica or Merriam-Webster, not Britannica, if I was working for the Oxford English Dictionary or Merriam-Webster or a professional dictionary, I'd be looking at that as if I were working for Encarta or Britannica, looking at Wikipedia back in the day.
And, of course, that leads us to Sandra Falconer's presentation on Wikidata and Wikicommons, which is going to be a multi-year project of joining the two together. And she did a little demo of what that might look like that I think everybody was in awe of how beautiful it will be when we move this forward.
Yeah, so that's the project called Structured Data on Commons. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the first time they rolled out their entire team? Is it entire? It's more than just Amanda Bittaker and Sandra.
It is the full team now of four. I mean, it's a cross-disciplinary or cross-departmental team. They're not within the Wikimedia Foundation working in the same hierarchy, and they're not physically in the same room, of course. For example, Sandra Fauconnier, who is the community liaison for the Structured Data on Commons project, works out of Rotterdam in the Netherlands. So it's a very international community in that sense. But this is based on a 3-year grant from the Sloan Foundation to power Wikimedia Commons' metadata off Wikidata. A simple use case of which long complained about is if you want to find content in Wikimedia Commons, you have to use an English language category hierarchy.
Right, just all kind of hacky.
Yeah, that was the example that Sandra used in her talk was the pheasant. Like she searched for pheasant, the word pheasant in Dutch, I believe, and turned up 2 items in Commons. But if you search for pheasant in English, you turn up hundreds of items.
And that's just searching using the free text. That's searching off file names, not even the category tree.
Yeah.
But we still, in Wikimedia Commons, cannot search in a structured way for, say, show me all of the photographs taken in France that are CC0 in this geographical location. To do that would require some funky intersections of categories.
Right.
So we really are not taking advantage of Wikimedia Commons. I mean, using MediaWiki as a multimedia asset management software is
bad news.
It's an exercise in self-flagellation in the first place.
And it really wasn't designed for that purpose. So we're moving forward now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and probably a surprise to a lot of people who didn't go to the conferences, our conference day went from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Now, they were kind because originally it was supposed to go to 11:30, so they let us out early.
Generous. Really? Generous of them.
Gave us a break.
Yeah.
11 p.m. But it was amazing, actually, because
Everyone
stayed because, I don't know, you didn't have to, but it was programmed up to 11 p.m., but actually, we want to hang out with each other anyway after 6, so why not just...
Yeah, I mean, we're all here in this room now.
And to be fair, there were meal breaks for lunch and dinner where you had a couple of hours and you can pop in and fill up a plate and take it into the next session.
Maybe a cash bar.
Yes, and cash bar.
Beach chairs.
Beach chairs, that's right. Chairs.
I'm disappointed I didn't get to try the bean bags.
Oh, I didn't do that. That's a good point.
Now, Wikimedia Deutschland really now has quite an extensive experience of event management. Right. And this is a venue they've used for the Wikimedia conference in years past at the Tagesspiegel newspaper headquarters, which is German for the Daily Mirror. But it is an entirely different kind of newspaper than the Daily Mirror in the UK context. We even had as one of the closing keynotes the data journalist lead or team member from that newspaper talking to us about how they use data and data visualization to inform their readership about things like the recent German elections as a way that structured data, not Wikimedia data, but the way that data is being used in public discourse more and more, that there is a concept of data journalist these days. So it's they're therefore quite happy to host this kind of event for us.
Right.
We're really in not in isolation in where knowledge production and consumption and dissemination is heading, which kind of ties to the strategy.
Right.
Yeah.
So that Saturday was intense, but the Sunday, which was today, was much lighter. It was like a half program day, gave us some time to decompress. And
then they gave us cake.
And it was, part of it was a five-year anniversary, or five-year birthday cake and celebration. But some of the cool things that happened on today's program were this whole talk about languages, right? So, Stacey, you had some interesting observations about comparing the prevalence of articles and items in different languages in our community, right?
Well, I think typically when you see a store of identifiers or data, it's usually in a single language. And you might, typically it's a unilingual interface as well. And so the really wonderful thing about Wikidata is the fact that it's multilingual, and the identifiers as well are not structured with any kind of linguistic preference, even within the identifiers. It uses what the Q numbers, and so you don't get that kind of where one language is supposed to be or does dominate over others. Although, as we heard today, there is obviously a lot of the people who are contributing to Wikidata might come from certain linguistic groups,
mm-hmm.
I think. So that is, again, one of the things that really makes holds a lot of promise for Wikidata in the space of structured data is the fact that it is multilingual.
Right. And one of the neat features of the closing talk also was what they call birthday presents. So these are like kind of mini lightning talks or lightning projects that people had. And what were some of your favorites out there in terms of the lightning birthday presents? Mine was what they call the Docker install of Wikibase. So Wikibase is the software that turns your MediaWiki instance into something that, can deal with Wikidata type databases. And believe it or not, I didn't know this until this conference, because some folks gave talks about how hard this is to do on your own, to install MediaWiki, to install Wikibase, the extension, and then to install the query language or query engine on top of that to just basically replicate Wikidata on your own server is really, really, really hard until today. So Adam with Wikimedia Deutschland showed how he turned that whole installation procedure into what they call Docker modules. So Docker is kind of like Legos for software. So basically, all you need to do is just say, grab these five or six modules, run them, and then you can run them on your server, and it's kind of like a one-click. You've got a replicating install of Wikidata.
Yeah, he did a live demo.
Yeah.
which is always, as he said, a scary concept. But he did a live demo of installing from zero a new Wikibase site with a functioning query service on it in 2 minutes.
Like about 2 minutes, yeah.
I had no idea what he was actually doing. two of us were sitting at the back of the room going, what?
There are a lot of dots moving around the screen, downloading, installing.
It looks like a command line. There's things flying past the screen. Yeah. But yeah, cool. But yes, I understand now the significance of this.
You could do it. You may not know what's happening, but you can paste the same command.
You too can have a black screen with lots of things on it.
And look really cool.
And look really super cool.
Right.
Well, I can tell you my favorite was what Katie Filbert demoed.
Yeah.
It's called Nearby, and as you might guess, if there are coordinates to some place, then you can click a link and it will show you what other things are nearby. And she said it took her about 2 hours to get as far as she has on this project. And obviously now other developers can hop on and see what they can do to improve it. But I like that feature very much.
Yeah, and you can install that today by going to her common.js file in her user profile.
This would be a good time to mention my new favorite phrase, which is wand of ontological clarity. Which is, if you're a D&D nerd like I was back in the day, that would be the best magic item you could possibly find in a dungeon. And it comes from the Dungeon of Knowledge, which is an ASCII-type game based on wiki data, which is a very weird thing to wrap your head around, but it is very entertaining.
Yeah, this was Jens,
someone else's
birthday present for Wikidata to create a roguelike game based on Wikidata queries. which one of the things you can collect in the dungeon is the wand of ontological clarity. We need to mention bees, crochet bees, but my particular favorite present was by Andy Mabbitt, where he this morning created the Wikidata item Q42395533, which is chronologically the most recent at the time, obviously, which is the Wikidata item 42, which means this is a Wikidata item of a Wikidata item, which is itself of a person numbered as a Easter egg after a number that person made significant.
Wait, we have to go deeper.
we need to add more data. But the hilariousness of this is the only Wikidata item which is an instance of a Wikidata item.
So far. But I'm sure there'll be some copycats.
His point was that Q42, Douglas Adams, made famous by the number that is the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah, if you don't know that, you're probably not listening to this podcast.
Wrong. That's true. Q42 is the Wikidata item that is frequently used in describing how Wikidata works in third-party publications. And so he's created this new Wikidata item about that Wikidata item with several serious journal references to footnote the fact of Q42 being a notable item. It is the first notable... I'm waiting for the Wikipedia article about Q42.
Challenge accepted.
Or the Wikidata item about this Wikidata item. So I think that's pretty fun.
We could actually do that.
But
create that article.
Yeah, all of my favorite... I have to give props to Andy, because all of my favorite pranks are well-cited from journal articles. So I have to give him props for doing this correctly.
Any other things from the birthday presents that were interesting?
Bees, yes.
Yeah, I was pretty fond of the crochet bee pattern that is now available, so you can crochet your own bee. And
why bees?
Why not?
Because bees are busy.
And they make structures.
Exactly.
And they work together.
Exactly.
To build things. Oh, and right. And they're cute.
They're very cute.
So it's just adorable. And a quick little pattern. And I thought that was a really fun birthday present.
Yeah, so if you want to find this on Wikidata, it's Wikidata:5th birthday/presents, all not all caps, but capped fifth cap birthday cap presents. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of links there. There's a link to instructions to make your own bee. There's a link to the game, the Dungeon of Knowledge, so you can get your wand of ontological clarity. I just wanted to say that again. So
there's
go visit that
link
page.
To nearby.
Yes.
Link to nearby.
Which is, yes, that is my new favorite widget as well.
And you should know that, the videos for this conference were really done well by the Chaos Computer Club. And they did all the three major rooms. We're uploading the video from the two other smaller rooms as well. Some of those are available on YouTube. We're going to try to get them all on Commons. I'll be working with the Chaos Computer Club folks to get the big files on Commons in the next week or two. So, yeah, this is one of the best video recorded conferences we've had in a long time. So you should be able to see all the talks in video form. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for staying up late on the last night of WikiDataCon.
Oh, can I say Wand of Ontological Clarity one more time
before
we wrap this episode up? Thank you.
And catch us next time when we probably will be coming from another conference. What's the next one? Rosie, you're off too.
I'm off to the Wikimedia Diversity Conference next weekend, the first weekend of November in Stockholm. And that should be just awesome. We're starting off Friday night, November the 3rd, at the Royal Armory. And then the conference itself will be at the Sheraton, Stockholm. So looking forward to meeting up with some folks from here and a lot of other faces. Should be great.
That's good. The Royal Armory is a long-term fan and friend of Wikimedia Sweden and Wikimedia Commons, one of three institutions in Sweden that have, in Stockholm, as a collection of museums that have done really diligent work in uploading high resolution open license material to Wikimedia Commons of all the and Wikidata of all of their collections. So it's great that they're actually getting it. We can go and visit them in person, and I won't be there, but you can visit on our behalf.
We actually should remind folks also that they've already announced that WikidataCon will happen in 2019. They're not going to have a global one in 2018. They're trying to encourage local folks to do their own regional WikidataCon. And we think that we will be doing it for WikiConference North America in Ohio. So we'll let you all
know. And if you're listening to this, you should do one in your own region as well.
Right. Good. All right. Thanks a lot, folks.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.